Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
You know, one of the things that we do kind of look at is, well, were there any fights? You know, how crazy was Black Friday? Because historically, there's always been just craziness outside of and inside of the various different stores, people trampling people fighting over some,
and
you know,
tchotchke. Most importantly, have people learned to turn their cell phones sideways to get the widescreen footage?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's
it's not most importantly, but you know,
that is an important thing, though, Captain. Although these days there's so many people viewing video on cell phones, you can't really blame somebody for filming vertically when that's probably how most people are actually.
Yes,
going
I can.
To watch
I can
it.
Blame them. Don't tell me what I can do and what
well,
I can't do.
I'm with you on this one, Captain. I actually like widescreen myself. I prefer the wide format.
I realize not all phones do the auto thing when you do tilt.
They don't.
The
not
question
all of them
is,
do, yeah, not the older phones.
How many of these shopping disasters are going to get caught on camera by boomers? Because that tends to be the difference.
How many are caused by boomers? Right? Like, it's my experience anyway. You know, when I was growing up, that the boomers were the ones that were all crazed about the Christmas shopping. We got to go. We got to go. We got to leave Thanksgiving dinner early so we can go shopping. Right? Like, oh, my God.
Well, they do seem to me more likely to actually go out to the stores on Friday rather than wait until Cyber Monday.
Yeah, I think I'm, what am I, Gen X? I think I'm far more inclined to just not go anywhere. I don't know if you guys remember these old, like, game shows on TV where they'd put a bunch of cash swirling in, like, a tube, and they'd open the door, and you could get in there and, like, try to grab.
I remember.
That's what Black Friday reminds me of. It's a bunch of people going to grabbing all this cash. I got to get as much as I can. And then, you know, trying to get out and... I don't know. I don't want any part of it.
I totally understand why you would want to go to the store while there's still a fair selection and while all of the best sales are going on.
Yeah.
What I don't get is why people will get into these giant mobs. Like when the mall is about to open, then there's this huge mob of people just waiting at the entrance. It's like, why would you do that? Like, don't. Have you
discounts.
Not seen the footage?
There was somebody
like,
online who...
Wait 1 minute. Like,
but somebody might beat me to the thing.
Well, also, you won't get trampled to death.
But the TV.
I mean...
I could get a TV for $200.
I remember when this started.
You know,
if
I'm going to roll the dice on trampled to death for a television, I would skip that.
When I
but
first...
It's the same sort of thing where, like, when someone is, like, 6 inches from your bumper, I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Right.
What are you gaining from doing this? Like, well, I might get to my destination a whole 2 seconds earlier.
Not even that.
I did work in a shopping mall in the food court in a place that makes, you know, like, steak sandwiches, cheese steaks or, you know, chicken sandwich, that kind of, you know, subs, right? Hot subs. And literally the hardest I've ever worked. Was during, like, sort of the post-Thanksgiving Black Friday, that weekend.
Yeah, you're nonstop.
Nonstop. I learned some things, though. I had a pretty good, like, manager. Like, he took it upon himself because the lines, people would line up and that kind of a thing. And he was like, well, we're going to lose revenue if people just sort of, like, see the line over there getting shorter. So he went out with, like, an order pad and started taking people's orders in advance. Right, so there was a big line lining up in front of our shop or whatever, and so he just started taking and then handed them, you know, a copy of their card, like, okay, you know, and then he'd bring the orders back to us so we could be ahead of the game.
Nice.
People in the back could be prepping up for whatever the next stuff is going to be, making sure the front line had enough stuff, because it was a bit of a show. You would cook the stuff in front of the people with, like, a big old glass sneeze guard, and you know, you do, like, you know, things like flipping the spatulas and, you know, just fun stuff to entertain the crowd. But living through that, like, I can't, like, I worked a couple of doubles, you know, open to close kind of
brutal.
Thing. Brutal. I was exhausted. People, of course, a lot of people were nice, but, like, a lot of people not so nice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got the order wrong, damn it. You know, and, like, they're not having any of it on this Christmas.
They had a bad day because they didn't get the toy, and now they're going to take it out on you.
There's also the fact that this was a really effective way of targeting this show in particular without appearing to target this show.
Right.
Because, okay, so you've taken out our top tech people, and you've also pulled the wires out of our stacks, so we don't have the people to fix it, and we have a problem that you caused, but it doesn't look like you were just trying to sabotage us. Oh no, you are arresting people for not doing the right things with this Bitcoin that you think they should have been doing.
I just looked at the Crypto6.com for the caller. There are two videos. There's the one that's been up there for some time, and then also the New Hampshire Bitcoin Believers video is up there as well.
Yeah, that's good. That's a really good
one. I wanted to follow up, if I may. What about Fedcoin? When is the dollar going to convert to crypto to digital currency?
Well, that's a good question, and it is something the federal government gang has been looking at. They've been, you know, producing reports about these what they call central bank digital currencies, and I'm glad you corrected yourself, Paul, because they are not cryptocurrencies. They're not cryptographically sound or secure in any way, shape, or form. They are completely centrally controlled. The ones that do exist around the world, in Nigeria, I believe, is, if not the first, one of the first countries on the planet to actually issue one of these things, and they are completely controlled by the central bank. The Crypto6 raid was just the latest in a long series of intimidations and or outright attacks against Liberty People. Our co-host Nobody, this is actually the second time he was arrested due to the FBI meddling in our affairs out here, and the first time he went to jail for a year for selling cannabis in Keene, which is something you wouldn't expect the FBI to be involved in because it was not crossing borders or anything like that.
Right.
It was a local so-called crime.
But there they were.
But there they were, and they wanted him to wear a wire into the Keene Activist Center. Was why they got involved. They figured they could put the pressure on him and that he would crack, and he didn't because he left Liberty and doesn't want to, you know, work for the cops. And so he put himself on the line for that, was facing up to 100 years in prison on those drug sales charges. Could have had him dropped if he would just, you know, done whatever the FBI wanted him to do.
Right, right.
But he didn't, so he ended up going to trial and sadly was convicted and luckily only spent a year behind bars instead of 100 of them. But,
and one thing I wanted to mention is that even the people who aren't accused in this particular case have felt some of the brunt of the situation. So
yes.
Like Melanie, who was a former host up here, she can't be involved in this anymore, and she can't be involved in a lot of the social events because either you or Nobody will be planning on going to those events.
Right, and we're prohibited from speaking with her,
right,
as well as Mark Edge,
right,
who
exactly
is the longest-running host on the show, mm-hmm, you know, besides me. To have the control over money,
yeah,
means they have the control over everything. And the thing they don't like about stablecoins is it actually takes the dollar out of their control even further, because you can send stablecoins to somebody just as easy as you can send a Bitcoin payment.
Mm-hmm.
And they're used to people having, if you want to send somebody a dollar or whatever, you have to go through, know your customer process. You have to jump through hoops. You got to show ID. You got to jump, you know, stand in line at a bank or go to Western Union or whatever.
All of the banking regulations that they've built up over a century at this point.
So the stablecoins have been a work around that, and now they're targeting the stablecoin companies for regulations that have yet to be announced, but they're looking at that.
And there's also the point where, okay, so let's say the CIA loses $1 billion. Whoops, just don't know where it went. You can do that if they're keeping the records.
Sure.
Whereas if this was being done on a blockchain, if this was being done on a stablecoin, that would be literally impossible to do.
Yes,
because
right,
we can just look into the records and go, you didn't lose it. It went to this account.
Yeah. So the central bank is to actually give them, as you're saying, more control. Because right now, there's all these sort of, I don't know what the right word of this, sort of franchise banks, if you will.
Yeah.
Like all the banks out there, they're not really independent. They all rely
on the
federal. Right. They all rely on the federal government. Yeah. One employee is different from another. Yeah. The, you know, the chairs might be set up differently in the lobby,
mm-hmm,
but ultimately, they all pretty much have the same plan. You want to stay away from the government monies, because the thing you have to remember is the euro isn't a safe place,
right,
and the Japanese yen isn't a safe place, and none of these other government monies are safe because they're all being inflated.
Mm-hmm.
This is the policy of the central banks around the world. Every one of them has the same exact policy. You just know how it is here because you're living here.
Right.
You don't know how it is in the other places. So all of them are on a race to the bottom.
Yep.
And if one of them happens to trade stronger against the U.S., dollar today. It could change tomorrow.
Right.
And
since they're all going down, it's a matter of, okay, well, this is comparing well to all these other ones, but they're also getting tanked. Whereas now you have something that's actually stable. So you can compare all of these currencies as a whole to something that increases in value instead of decreasing in value over time.
And if you're a fan of competition, particularly in the free market, you take a look at the number of countries that exist, somewhere around 200 countries exist on planet Earth. There's less than 200 currencies because a bunch of those countries use other countries' currencies.
Like El Salvador.
So let's just say there's, you know, for round numbers, let's just say there's 200 currencies, just for round numbers. And then you look at the cryptocurrency market, there's thousands of currencies. Which market is more likely to weather a storm?
Well, and you could have found all of this stuff out if we were still spending gold as money.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
First off, let me start out with saying that Joe Biden must be a racist, seeing as how he's banned all the travel from Africa to America.
Yeah, you know how Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the mainstream media attacked Donald Trump for doing the exact same thing, except to the Middle East and I think Nigeria?
No, it was actually Africa.
Was it Africa?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've read the quote from Joe Biden regarding Trump and his ban on travel to Africa.
Right.
Like, the quote is literally about banning travel to Africa and how Trump's a racist because he's banned, blah, blah, blah.
We read, actually, some of the old quotes from Biden and Harris last night where they just laid into Trump for this, how it was un-American and blah, 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 and now they're doing the exact same
thing. My favorite part about this is that African is actually race, whereas Muslim is not a race. So, I mean, Trump got called a racist for making a Muslim ban, including the fact that one of those countries was not an Arabic country.
Go ahead,
Patrick. All they got to go is they just have to go down and join the caravan coming up from Guatemala.
Well, I don't think that anybody should be banned from coming into the United States. So whether you come in from Guatemala or, you know, China or whatever, if you want more freedom, you are somebody that should be here, in my opinion. And so it just goes to show that Joe Biden is just like Donald Trump. And that's not the only story about how Biden is once again doing exactly what Trump has been doing.
I go around to all these stores. I mean, I go in the store once in a while. And I see that everybody's got a coin shortage sign out.
Huh.
So I think people are hiding or keeping more of their coins because you can build a ship out of metal, but you can't build a ship out of Bitcoin. And if something happens like an EMP blast or something like that, or the internet goes down for whatever reason, China sends a hypersonic missile or Russia, whoever, something happens to the internet, we all go down, and the only thing that you have is what's in your pocket. And the only thing that
You definitely don't want to. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, Padraig. So it certainly would be a bad idea to put all of your value into to cryptocurrency. I think. I think it wouldn't hurt to have something like gold or silver on hand. But keeping government pot metal is a waste of space. Holding on to things like government money, like coin, like quarters or half dollars or whatever, it's a waste of space. Go ahead and turn those into gold backs.
A plan for something to do with your zinc, because that's what's in those.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically worthless.
You guys are right. If you take a penny, a modern-day penny, and cut it in half with a pair of scissors or dikes or whatever, inside it's not copper anymore.
It was a little difficult to only live off of just the small businesses here in the Keene area that are directly accepting cryptocurrency. So I did that. And then, you know, technology evolves. Somebody's offering one of these crypto debit cards. I went and got one just to see what it was like. And, you know, I wanted to feel the joy of, you know, putting my debit card into, I don't know, like a
gas
station and filling up my car, right? Just to say that, you know what, I just filled up my tank with cryptocurrency, yeah. You know? Yeah. There's a little bit of prestige there, you know? And so I did that. And then, like, just because I'm sort of naturally exploring all these things, I took a look around at, like, my financial environment, and I went, is there any reason for me not to just put everything I get into cryptocurrency? And the answer was no. There's no reason for me not to at this point. I can, you know, if I need to pay a bill, I can do so online with my crypto debit card or whatever. I do have to write one check. Because there's a state-based agency.
The government.
It's my water bill, of all things, where they actually will accept a credit or debit card, but not over the phone. You have to go visit them in
and
person.
And you probably have to pay 3% on top of the bill.
I have to write one. I was completely check-free, and then I moved here.
I do believe it to be an actual, honest-to-goodness photograph. I don't think it's been photoshopped or anything, but there is a picture of a woman, I think after World War One in Germany, taking the German money and actually putting it in her stove or her furnace and
to
burning
keep warm.
It because it was so much easier just to go ahead and burn the money rather than go try to find some wood or something somewhere.
Yep. I'm trying to remember, was it Greece or some one of these economies that had the hyperinflation where people were taking the currency and making clothing out of them because it was easy to like overlap and stitch and sew.
Yeah.
And it had no value anyway, so they were like, well, we might as well make something out of it.
They're making purses out of the Venezuelan Bolivar today. You can buy a very nice looking purse with all the beautiful colors of the Venezuelan currency because they weaved it together. Ken, check this out when you get a chance. Go online, look for goldback.com and look at the beautiful 1/1000th of an ounce actual spendable form of gold. It's absolutely incredible. So we've been talking about these alternatives to using cash because we know that the government money of, you know, wherever we're talking about, whether it's Venezuela or the United States or whatever, you know that the value of the government money is going down. And some of them go down faster than others, but it's like we said earlier, it's a race to the bottom. So you got to look at other alternatives. Now, Captain, you're taking basically your entire paycheck now,
yes,
converting it to cryptocurrency, and then using that to buy things, everything basically,
as I need them
in your life. But at the same time, you didn't go 100% because you do still have gold backs, right?
I do. Yes, that's true. And in fact, one of our favorite places here in town is accepting those as well.
That's amazing.
For dinner and that kind of a thing. So, my point is that I'm trying to get out of the dollar, which is kind of the gist of what we've all been talking about here tonight. I know you mentioned somebody that's been living off of it. I'm a fan of Andreas Antonopoulos. He wrote the book on Bitcoin. He also wrote the book on Ethereum. I was sort of inspired by him. He has been doing all of his speaking engagements. Mm-hmm. He's a crypto evangelist. He knows the history of, you know, sort of the what do we call them, the cypherpunks, the pre-cryptocurrency days. He was involved in their mailing lists and that kind of stuff. And when he read Satoshi's white paper, he claims that he just sort of went into a trance.
The BitPay card was not impressive to me at all. There was no real reason to use it besides to use crypto to pay for things, whereas the other ones have these cashback or crypto back incentives. And once I found that there was a card that had that, I'm like, okay, finally. You know, I took every credit card payment that I had and I moved them all over to the crypto debit card, because you can, in some of the cases, you can get more than 2% back if you like stake some of the coin of the card. So there's different sort of setups that they have. But the thing that I really liked about the Uphold card, and I think that it makes it the best card out there in the market, and again, they're not a sponsor, it's just my opinion about it, is you can keep your balance in Bitcoin or Dash or Bitcoin Cash or Stellar or, you know, whatever other one that they accept. So you hold your balance in the crypto, whereas every other Bitcoin debit card I've ever seen or heard about, they always make you like, okay, you're out of dollars on the card. Now you have to authorize us to, you know, move some Bitcoin.
Convert
into
some
dollars.
More, right? Re-up,
and,
if you will.
Yeah, and you have to like, all right, well, I guess I'll take, you know, $500 worth of Bitcoin and change it over. And then, of course, you know the price of Bitcoin is going to go up as soon as you do that. And it does. And you're like, man, when you can actually hold the balance in the Bitcoin, it only moves it into dollars every time you make a purchase. And that's it.
I really missed your show, and I just really love making you guys laugh for all the dumb things that we do here in New Mexico. But I'm actually very proud of our Senator Lujan, Senator Lujan, and then he's the one that from our state wants to make the alcohol detection devices mandatory in all of our new cars.
You're proud of this?
Well, we have like a really great DWI problem.
Notice, you know, I didn't say we ever agreed with Sarah on much, but she was a really regular caller.
I remember
and
Sarah.
Always has interesting topics to talk about. You know, Sarah, we actually talked about this recently on the show that they passed this. So you probably knew that, but some of our listeners may not know that as of 2026, the federal government is intending to mandate alcohol detection devices of some sort. They have yet to figure out what the device exactly is going to be, what technology it will be, but it'll be in every new car, and every driver will have to pass a DUI check in order to not only start but continue operation of the vehicle. And Sarah, you're saying you think this is a good thing?
I just wanted to explain the technology. Is that the thing is it uses laser to analyze the gases released in your breath and also your perspiration.
I want to talk about the Queen of England. It was shown this week. It was kind of big news that she's feeling better, and now she'll be able to participate in more of these public events. So I think that's important to help people, you know, celebrate that.
You're being facetious, right?
Being facetious, yes.
Yeah.
Very facetious, because I understand that this person is just another human whose queenship exists only in the realm of delusion, illusion, and psychology. But I have a question for you. How many years do you think I've called in to try to get you guys to just work on eliminating this word we call
30.
Government? It's just, yeah, that's pretty close.
That's actually been around 30 years.
I'm going to say maybe 10 years. 10 years.
At least 10 years.
Yeah.
So, anyway, just to get people to understand that I think promoting the truth that there really is no such thing as local, state, or federal government. To me, they're just people. And of course,
they're people with guns. Who
well,
will hurt
yes,
you?
It is worth, you know, pointing out which gang they're a part of.
Yes.
Because if it was individuals doing this, we'd be fine.
Government is a delusion. It is a belief that people have that justifies the use of violence against their neighbors.
It's the belief in authority that, for whatever reason, some people have more rights than you do.
Yeah, badges don't grant extra rights, but the reality is, people still think they do. And until that changes, even despite all the protests about police last year, we still haven't seen a significant change whatsoever to the policing structure, you know, abolish the police department. There was a proposal to replace the police department with like a public service department or something like that with in Minneapolis. That didn't pass. That's dead in the water at this point. So the thing that I think that we can do that's more effective than what Jed is saying is to, or sort of in tandem effective, more effective, is to get people who believe like Jed, who understand what the state is, and that it is this delusion, this crazy violent delusion that people believe in fully,
yeah.
To the point where they pledge their allegiance to it, to the point where they sing anthems to it. And to get people who have seen through this delusion to come to the same geographic area. And that's what the Free State Project, that's what the migration of freedom lovers to New Hampshire is. That's the reason why the three of us are in this room together. We would not have known one another had it not been for this migration of freedom-loving people, who are not just freedom-loving people, but also activists.
They were talking about inflation, about Zimbabwe and Germany, but do you know there was one that was a lot worse than that and probably isn't? Even today, the world's worst inflation.
Ooh, tell me.
It's in Hungary.
When?
Yeah, around 1923, 24.
Okay. How bad did it get?
It got to the point where I believe the largest note I have in the collection is 5 billion trillion pengo.
5 billion trillion.
Whoa.
5 billion trillion tingo.
Wow.
And I'm looking at a postage stamp. 500,000 billion pingo. 500,000 billion pingo for a postage stamp.
Insane.
Absolutely insane. Unbelievable. How it could ever get as extreme as it is and still even have even a fabric left of a currency system.
That's amazing.
Well, it's what happens when you allow people who are control freaks to do just that, control the money, control people's ability to exchange value with each other. That's
control when they don't know what they're controlling.
I mean, open a history book. It happens repeatedly throughout, you know, and I'm not talking to you, caller. I'm just talking to our listeners. You know, it happens repeatedly throughout human history, and it really happens because these organizations with the monopoly on violence are the ones who are in control.
Yeah, I just saw another story where a guy is getting away with murder.
He murdered
the father of his stepchildren. They were arguing outside this house that his ex-wife and this guy live in. And the guy wanted to see his children. He said that his ex-wife keeps, you know, stopping him from seeing his children. Mm. So he and the guy she's living with got into an argument. Then the guy she's living with goes in the house, gets a rifle, comes out. The guy's still arguing with him, you know, the father of the children, still arguing with him. So he fires a round into the ground next to the guy's feet. And they're still arguing. And so he shoots the guy dead right there in broad daylight and everything in front of the guy's present wife took the video, I guess it was on the phone, using the video from the phone.
So and was the idea that, I'm not very familiar with the case, was the idea that the guy shooting into the ground was supposed to, you know, scare the guy away?
But it didn't. Mm. It didn't.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.